Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for being with us. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link. It's free. Over 50,000 people are doing it. One-stop shopping. Put in your email address. We don't sell your data. And you'll get an email updating you on everything that we do in the previous 24 hours. Hey, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And you know my feelings. You got to have a bank account to function today. However, Dodd-Frank 2010 and UCC Section 8, Paragraph 5, they can take it from you anytime they want. And most people are totally unaware of this. This is why I started in with Noble Gold. I've been a customer for almost 8 years, been an advertiser for nine. Took me a year to wise up. They're the best that there is at what they do. They'll separate your retirement from the bank. You own it, they'll back it with gold, an appreciating asset. Now, don't wait. Don't wait. There are 66 banks on the Federal Reserve watch list. It could be 6,066 for the records they keep. I don't want your bank to be one of them. So let's get started today. Call Noble Gold, 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Well, our guest, and it's been a long time coming here. We've run into some scheduling snafus, but I'm really glad to have Marjorie Wildcraft on with us, introduced together by Scotty Sachs, our mutual friend. And our Sovereign Radio Project, and you've heard us talk about that. Well, Marjorie is a veteran figure in backyard food production. I love that term. She's an author, researcher, public speaker. She's been featured in National Geographic as an expert on off-grid living. And this is something we're going to really touch on. Some of the things you may hear might surprise you today. Some of the things may actually concern you. And sometimes level of concern gives us the impetus to do what needs to be done. We're going to get into all the ways that you can follow Marjorie as we move on. But I got to tell you, she's published a book, and that's the first place I'll start here, The Grow System, The Essential Guide to Modern Self-Sufficient. And it's with Penguin Random House. And Reuters has awarded her with Sustainable Media Award. I think those are pretty good credentials you've heard here. Marjorie, welcome to the show. First time guest on the Common Sense Show. Really glad to have you here. Although we're going to get really well acquainted on our Sovereign Radio Project. And yes, Marjorie and I are going to be working with Scotty Sachs and others on trying to reshape the radio and actually internet media. Marjorie, welcome. So good to have you on.
Thanks for having me. It's yeah, you're right. It's a lot of mishaps, and I do love the Sovereign Radio Project. Yeah, Scotty's got a real good vision there, and we need it. And I really can see that becoming a significant force in the
Yeah,
future
absolutely.
for information. The legacy media it's dying. We're killing it, basically.
You know, there's something else too along those lines, and Scotty's partnering with them too. I introduced the two parties, Sam Anthony and Your News from the zip code all the way to international. No one's doing what he's doing. And he's an old hedge fund guy and he's raising money like crazy to do this. It's great investment opportunity. We're going to be tying in with that with Sovereign Radio. I'm tying in with my show. And I think we're probably about a year away from seeing Sam become a national media figure. So there's a lot of changes coming. And I think we're all going to be the beneficiary of it. Mainstream media is dead. I don't know if you've seen their numbers for the first quarter of the year. They
No, I
were
haven't.
all. Listen, two of my three entities, and I don't brag about my numbers because I think I can do better, but two of my three entities outdraw Fox News in the 25 to 54 crowd. The only
I believe you. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, really, you know? Yeah. When I saw the Joe Rogan Trump interview, like, I don't know how many millions of views, and then, you know, yeah, CNN and Fox and all those guys, like nothing. It's over.
I know. It's absolutely crazy. Well, I want to get to the heart of what you do. And let me tell you, I tell people you need to buy gold, not put your money back in the bank fully. But you know what? I tell people this too. If you are not prepping, and I always like to say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools, but really you need to put your money into food. And so let me ask you an opinion question here. At this point in time, why is it important for us to be growing our own food or and then storing it?
Good, several reasons. One is the commercial supply is absolutely toxic. Absolutely toxic. A couple of examples. Bill Gates developed this thing called Apeel, which is like a spray they can put on vegetables that makes them last longer. It has, and it's some unbelievably toxic thing. It has just been approved for the organic standards.
Wait a minute, RFK Jr. is letting this come in?
They just got approved in the organic standards. So, I mean, RFK Jr. has a huge, it's great what he's doing with the dyes, but we need a lot more action than what he's doing. So I don't know what battles are going on behind the scenes. But really, we used to say you could be a perimeter shopper in the grocery store. That's not true anymore. I mean, they're just, it's j just the whole thing. The best you can hope for in the commercial food supply is that it's not harmful to you, but there's definitely not going to be any nutrition in it. So, you know, conventional agriculture has been grown on the same plots over and over and over again, and they only replace three nutrients, the nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. So all the other micronutrients have been gone a long, long time. And then there was a Stanford study research that was done in 2016, major, that actually compared organic growers with conventional for nutritional content. And it turns out the organic actually isn't any more nutritious either. So one is just the sheer toxicity of the existing food supply. The other is the existing food supply. We're in war, right? We are in war. Let's be very clear about what's going on here. And absolutely, the first tactic in warfare is to destroy the food supply and cut off the food supply.
True.
We have all kinds of food. I mean, shut down. There's like, what, seven major choke points in the world. Let's say the Strait of Hormuz, 20% of the world's oil supply that goes through that. Very vulnerable place. I mean, if that blows, this is your red flag that you need to go out and stock up immediately on at least a year's worth of food, if not two or three.
Because everything is shipped. You're exactly right.
Yeah, the
Everything
same
is
with the
shipped.
Panama Canal, the same with the Strait of Malacca. There were so many vulnerable points. We've got that going on. But even beyond that, global food production is way, way down. You know, most of us don't look at it because you go to the grocery store and there's plenty there. But this flooding, there's rampant flooding all over the entire realm, you know, the US, everywhere. Now, whether you believe that's weather warfare or whether you believe it's natural cycles or whether you believe it's just we're in the apocalypse and it's an act of God, it doesn't matter. The fact is, vast amounts of crops are being destroyed. And, the war in Ukraine used to be a gigantic breadbasket. Nobody's growing food in Ukraine right now. I don't think there's any men left in Ukraine. There's lawfare right here in the United States is going on. Watch NASA TV on YouTube with that farmer who's really, as a man thinketh, is the other title he likes to go by. Just state after state after state is hammering one of the last examples, Idaho. 500,000 acres of
Yep, I
potato
saw that.
farmers, they shut the water off to them and they wanted to build a data center for Facebook or something like that. That's a lot of farmland. That's a lot of potatoes. You know, they're doing the same thing in Oregon, in Maine. They're condemning farms for because they have forever chemicals. There is an onslaught, and you've already felt the price of food going up, right? I mean, we've already seen the price of eggs have pretty much tripled at least or so. You're seeing hamburger going up. You're seeing everything going up. Chocolate. Oh my God. That's why I live in Puerto Rico. It grows here. We are just at the beginning of that really starting to become a much bigger problem. So financially, you need to be growing your own food. So there are so many things going on in the world today. And this is not like, gloom and doom or fear. I'm just being very practical about what's happening.
No, I
And
agree
how
with you. In fact, Henry Kissinger once said, if you control oil, you control nations. If you control food, you control the people. And I totally agree with what you're saying. And there is a war on farming right now. And I'm surprised the Trump administration is not stepping in. I'm shocked. He's been in office long enough to challenge some of this stuff that's going on. And are they misusing the EPA still against the farmers
Oh,
in this administration?
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another great example. So, there's you're in any big city, almost any city actually, you flush the toilet. What happens to that? Well, the municipalities now all have an area where they separate the solid and the liquid, and they do a light composting to the solids, and they either bag it up or they put it in a truck. Now that is filled with everything that got flushed down that thing, right? From the Drano, right, to the pharmaceuticals, or even what was in your pharma in people's bodies that goes down through the pharmaceuticals, all the waste from light industry, from hospitals, you know, there's everything in there, and it's just very lightly composted, bagged up, so it's loaded with forever chemicals, glyphosate, you know, all kinds of everything is in it. They bag it up. And you can go to your like your local Home Depot or your or a lot of times even your local nurseries and buy it in those, you know, 40-quart bags. And it'll be called organic garden soil. They sell it by the truckload to farmers and they give it to them very, very cheaply, or sometimes even free. And I personally know a lot of organic farmers that fully believe they're farming organically, but they're using this absolutely contaminated you know, I hope don't get any too many people upset. It's shit soil. You know, it's terrible, right? Actually, that's what they've been doing in Maine, is so they give this free fertilizer to these Maine farmers, and then they go back later and they do soil testing, and of course they find forever chemicals and they condemn the farm. So
What
that's
do you think
a
is motivating this horrible practice, set of practices?
oh, and to go back to your question, I will get to that. To go back to your question, the EPA is fully aware of this. Their own reports and tests demonstrate they have known about this problem for years and years and years. And like the most recent one was in 2016. They did a full-on study of, I think it was like 94 municipalities, and 100% of them had forever chemicals in it in high and significant amounts. I believe that there's a whole entire war on what's going on. I believe there's a depopulation agenda going on. You know, I believe that there are very, very, quite frankly, evil satanic forces that have control of a lot of the systems on the planet. And that's a really hard thing to take. I tell you, I've been in this space for a long time. And you're like, oh, you guys, I just don't want to know about the pedophiles and the Satanists. You know, I just want to teach people how to grow food. And but in the last couple of years, it's had to like front and center, like, yes, this is going on. This is happening. And we have to stand up and do whatever we can do. And my part in that is you aren't going to be able to stand up for very long if you don't have a full belly. So I teach people how to grow food.
You think this is causing the cancer explosion that we're seeing?
Very much so. Yeah. Between that and all these so-called vaccines and almost everything else they're doing, I could not believe, you want to talk about the level of insanity. I just saw an article and I got to do some background research to make certain this is true, but they're looking at putting vaccines in dental floss.
I've heard this. Yeah, I've heard it too. Yeah.
Dental floss. Like, if I want a vaccine, I will go to a doctor and get a vaccine. The only reason you would put it in dental floss is because of some nefarious reason that you want me to have a vaccine that I didn't sign up for. Like, you know, like, and there, oh, a lot of the greens, the leafy greens. By the way, California provides a huge amount of produce to this country, right? That Central Valley is so wonderfully fertile and wonderful growing. Well, now that there were those big fires in Los Angeles and all those winds and those lithium ion battery factories and all this, you know, all the burning of just PVC pipes, and all that wind blew all over the Central Valley. I don't think you should buy or eat anything out of the Central Valley of California anymore. That's completely toxic. You know, we've got a really, really challenging situation here. But now, I absolutely always believe that God, spirit, universe, whichever way you want to talk about it, will always provide a solution and will always provide a way. And it might involve just changing a lifestyle a little bit or navigating a little bit, but there's always a way. And the way is with your own hands in your backyard. You don't need a governmental, industrial, you know, military industrial complex to feed you. You can actually grow your own food.
But there's even a move against that. I mean, I've even seen homeowners associations outlaw gardens in people's backyards.
This is true, and I have not seen it be as big a push from the governmental agencies. So yeah, local homeowners associations and things. I will say that those things can absolutely also be navigated. Well, first of all, a homeowners association is a pretty small political entity, and so you can get involved there, and you know, start working with that. That's not like trying to deal with the mayor of New York or something. It's a small thing. There's also lots of ways to grow food where nobody knows you're growing food, edible landscaping or having livestock that isn't listed specifically in the thing. And then, of course, if you're in an area where there's a whole bunch of homeowners that are saying you can't grow food here, you're probably in the wrong neighborhood. Like, those are not going to be people you can count on when when it really gets tough. So, I will tell you a very hopeful thing, and I don't think we have time for this anymore, but I used to live in Austin, Texas. Had a very successful real estate business there, actually, before I was given this mission to work on. And it used to be that if you had chickens in your backyard, you were like, your neighbors hated you. You were considered Bubba. You're lowering the property values for the whole neighborhood. Everybody hated you. And there was quite a, this one guy in particular, his name was Selwyn Pollitt, who lived in Austin. He had these three hens. He loved them. They were more like pets. They were pets with benefits, right? They'd lay eggs. And this really cute little funky chicken house for them. And he just started having people come over and see it. And after a while, and it took a while, more and more people started having chickens. And it the whole culture of Austin changed. I think it took about maybe a dozen years. But even the city of Austin now will they have classes on how to have backyard chickens, how to keep a small flock of laying hens. They will subsidize some small amount of money for you to buy a chicken coop or something. There's a thing that's organized every year called the Funky Chicken Coop Tour, where you could go around and see like some of these chicken coops. Like, I would live in them. Like, they're beautiful, right? People go nuts. They're crazy. Have way more money than sense. And I spoke with one of the city officials, it was a few years ago, and I said, "Why are you doing this? I'm pretty sure it's not out of the goodness of your own heart." And they said, "No, there's a very practical reason. Is we found that people who have chickens in their backyards have 30% less waste in their garbage, and our landfill usage is reduced significantly. And landfills are, and garbage collection is a significant expense for the city. So by them encouraging people having chickens, they're cutting down a bigger expense at the on the other side." So I thought, well, whatever it takes to motivate you, I'm totally good with that.
The counter to that, though, is this, and that's I think they call them the C40 cities, and there's over 100 now in America that subscribe to the 15-minute city ideal of no meat, no dairy, and so we're battling that as well too,
Totally.
and it's real. I'll give you an example. I mean, I live in Arizona. I live north of Phoenix, in a rural area, but down in Tucson, which is about 2 hours south of me, they are a member of that group I told just mentioned, and but they hide it. You have to absolutely know the URL to tap into it, and they have everything there that they want to do to you. It's absolutely amazing. No cars, no meat, no dairy. They're advocating for social credit. So this is still very much alive, even though Trump is president. These ideals and these threats to us have not gone away. And I worry about them legislating against homegrown food. What do you have a workaround here? Can you move your operation inside? Is that practical?
That is possible, and I agree. I watch that very, very closely. And so far, the onslaught now is primarily on small farmers, and they have not yet begun to attack backyard. And I think it's because there's just not that much backyard food production going on. And I believe that will be next. And so, yeah, as I said, there's what we call guerrilla gardening, or, like, quite frankly, most people are very ignorant right now. So, like, you could come in my yard and I could be having a bunch of food growing. As long as you don't have it like in straight rows with plants that people recognize, you can grow it in lots of other ways that people don't recognize. And, there's also, believe it or not, one of the biggest myths people are always thinking about gardens as the thing, but actually, livestock is way more, small livestock is way more productive. So, rabbits and chickens laying eggs and rabbits for meat. And, rabbits are very quiet without much of a noticeable odor. There's lots of ways to do things, and you can even do rabbits indoors if you needed to, certainly in a garage or something. I do expect that there will be an attack on that, and I have heard of the 15-minute cities. I got a really funny story for you about one here. I live in Puerto Rico, and in San Juan, they want to have a 15-minute city, and who was a vice president? And she ran for president. I'm sorry, I'm not very political. Anyway, she came here to work with the governor to get a 15-minute city inaugurated in San Juan. And the way Puerto Ricans protest is they have street parties with music and dancing, and they're protesting, right? And Harris, yeah, right? Anyway, So she comes out of the building. They've just signed the thing, and there's this massive protest going on. And she's starting to clap and dance, and like she thinks it's really fun. And then her aide leans into her ear and says, "Hey, that song is actually saying like you're a bitch and you need to get out of here." It's funny.
I'll let that comment stand without correction.
There you go.
That's amazing. No one ever accused her of being overly bright, but that is the trend now. I mean, what's the first thing to happen when Lahaina burned down? 15-minute city, and that's the thinking that's going on in LA right now too. That's eventually what's coming before the Olympics, and I think there's no doubt to that. How much can someone realistically produce? Let's say in a suburban backyard, quarter of an acre lot or an eighth of an acre, which is standard. How much can they produce, and is it self-sustainable?
Are the realistically, as a beginner, you can produce about half of the food that you need. And I have this free webinar. People have asked me this so much that I show people a very simple three-part system for where you can produce it. And in that, I go through the calories and how much time it takes and what it looks like. And I give you a thumbnail of it. It's like a very simple small garden setup. It's a small flock of backyard laying hens and then a small home rabbitry. And that's just as a beginner. And of course, as your skills and your soils improve over time, you can be producing a whole lot more. The wonderful thing about nature is it's very, very generous. And as you start getting more in touch and learning and developing and working with nature, it's very, very, very abundant. And you can produce a lot more. I think it's, is it the DeVarves family? There's a family in Los Angeles, a small backyard, and they're like producing so much now that they have a small, business where they're selling food, and I think they're supporting like 20 or 30 families just out of a small lot. So there's a tremendous amount that you can do.
That's interesting. I'm on about a little over an acre and a half, acre and three quarters. So we got a pretty sizable backyard. What I'm wondering is, what would you recommend for someone like me in a rural residential setting? What can you do? How much could you raise there, proportionate to what you need for a family of four?
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful amount of land. And when I first got started, like more than 20 years ago, we had 75 acres. And my husband's grandmother had grown up, rurally, and she grew up behind her parents, knee high to a grasshopper, picking beans and tending. And so when she was a mature adult, she always had an acre garden. And so when my husband was growing up, he thought, well, that's what a garden looks like, right? So he plowed me up an acre of land, and I had an acre of weeds, and frustration is just way too much. I really recommend you start small, like with 250 square foot beds for the gardens. But you can do a tremendous amount. I mean, that's wonderful to have an acre, acre and a half. Like that'll keep you plenty busy. In addition to doing this, I really recommend people start this very simple three-part system first. Just because you can get up to speed so quickly, you can start producing food so rapidly. But if you've got more room like that, plant some fruit and nut trees right now. The best time to have planted a tree was 10 years ago. The next best time is today.
Yeah, well, we've got the lemon and orange trees, but also I live in the desert, and we're a little cooler than Phoenix, but still was 106 yesterday. Do you
Ouch.
have programs that are geared towards differential climates?
Well, everything I talk about usually is general for everywhere, because I'm very aware. I mean, and I've lived in Central Texas, which is not quite Phoenix, but a little bit close to that,
It's
like
close.
dry. I've lived in Colorado and grown there, which is, cold, very short growing season. Western Oregon, which is very, very wet and overcast, and now I'm living in the tropics. I'm very aware of the different things. You're going to want to focus on trees, like actually surprisingly mesquite trees, and those mesquite beans are a wonderful food source. In fact, you might want to tap into the group. There's a group in Tucson that every year when you harvest the mesquite beans around August, they have a grinder that they go around with to grind it into power, to flour. It's a wonderful community service project. Brad, is his name Brad Stufflebeam? I can't remember. I'll have to look for that and get you the name of the guy that lives in Tucson that's been doing so much work there. There's a lot of food in the desert, and I have to say, it's a little counterintuitive, but if you have water, growing in the desert is actually one of the easier places to grow because you have less weed pressure and you have less insect pressure. but you definitely have to have water.
Yeah, we have a swimming pool when things
There
get
you go.
rough. And it's
There.
decent-sized, yeah. But I mean, I've also thought of that. That's a potential water supply too for the
Absolutely. Yeah.
and
I
then
mean, that's one of the classic prepper things if you're in the city, you know, that hot water heater. That's usually
yeah.
got 50 or 100 gallons of water in it, you know.
That's true. And we are headed for grid down situations too, which is going to affect the food supply. And people just are totally unaware of it. And you know, it's interesting. I've been talking about grid down for years because of all the terrorists we've let in the country. And I've predicted on one day we'll have a Tet Offensive kind of a style attack, and the grid will be one of the casualties. But there's a new threat. And it's interesting. It's the data centers. Our utility rates are going through the roof, and these data centers are taking an inordinate amount of power and water. And actually, our utility companies are admitting that they don't have the ability to service all the demands for AI. And this isn't a city the size of Phoenix. I mean, we're not talking a small community being overwhelmed. Arizona Public Service said we can't meet this demand at this time. And but they're still giving permits and letting people build, and even though they know have a problem, I predict we're going to see massive roving blackouts across the country over AI and the plants.
I absolutely agree with you. And then, but then also, I forget which CEO, I think it was the CEO of Google, also said that the next warfare will be physical attacks on data centers. So, you know, China coming in and bombing US data centers or vice versa. Like, in addition to the data centers just sucking up all the resources. Yeah.
I
There
agree
are,
with that assessment because some of the data centers are partnered with Taiwan with chip factories, and they're bundling them together. And I've seen that in three places in Maricopa County. And I think that that's a really good assessment that that's going to be a target. I totally agree with that.
yeah, I really think if you just go through life with the mindset now that we are at war, and it's hard to say who we're at war with, which is a great characteristic of any war. It's like, no, it's not the redcoats. It's not as easy anymore to figure out who to shoot. It's, but we are at war, and you need to have that mentality and the you know, food, reliable information, supply chains are going to get disrupted. They already are. It's already lots of things are breaking. And you're going to need massive amounts of self-reliance to get through this period. Now, I will say that I believe we're going to go through some really real, and I also agree with you about, like, oh my God, those insurgents that have been placed here. I've been just waiting. What is going to be the trigger? Because I agree with you. I think it's going to be like they're all going to be activated at once. And it's going to be horrifying to Americans. Like,
I think it's in process, and I'm not sounding a false alarm here. I have tracked four major arm shipments in our region here that have been interdicted. Major, I'm talking massive. And the media just gives it passing attention. And I'm looking at it, so this is not normal. And this is going on in the interior of the country. So I do think something is being planned right now. I think the attack on Iran was probably a trigger for what's coming. I think you're absolutely correct. And I think the clock is already ticking. And this is why I believe Trump is really trying to step up the deportation of immigrants. Although I think getting people out of Home Depot is not going to solve the problem. He's got to get to the heart of who the brain centers are in this country. And that's hard to do because they've been coming here for decades.
yeah, it's a very clear, very, very straightforward military tactic to just bring a bunch of people in and put them in place. Once they get here, equip them with the arms that they need. And just, I mean, what are they doing? They're just sitting around in hotels that we're paying for, waiting for their signal for, you know, whatever that is that they're planning on doing. I saw Mike Adams do an interview with this guy who was doing security on these buses. And the guy could, he was a former Marine. I've learned never to say ex-Marines. They're never, once you're a Marine, apparently. Anyway, this guy, very, very straightforward, you know, just high integrity individual. And he's doing this job. And he speaks both English and Spanish. And he's listening to the guys on the bus. And they're going, we hear there's cities where there are people that don't have any guns at all, like New York or Chicago. We want to go there. I'm like, oh my God, heaven help us.
I
You know,
agree.
yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I even think this is a little unrelated, but somewhat related. There have been three arms interdictions on transportation with arms headed to Pueblo, Colorado, which is largely controlled by the cartel. 45 minutes away, El Chapo's there. I think they're planning a breakout. Now, I know it's a supermax, and I think it's crazy to even suggest it, but why are all these arms shipments being interdicted going into Pueblo? And these are the ones that we know about. We don't even know, how much is actually getting through. So the terrorism network is widespread, and when they start wreaking their havoc, people are going to regret the day when they're not prepped.
Oh my God, I forgot all about El Chapo. I can't, but Pueblo, Colorado. Oh God, hell, heaven help the people
He's
who,
in
come
Canyon
on.
City at the Supermax there, and that's 45 minutes away. But in a
Yeah.
3-month period, three major arms and ammunition interdictions going into that area, in an area controlled by the cartel. Pueblo is the highest crime city in America per capita.
Now,
And
do you mean these arms they caught, they saw them and they stopped them, like the authorities?
arms, yeah, two of the shipments were mostly ammunition, some arms. One was mostly arms and some ammunition. And by the way, all the people that were caught were cartel members. So
Oh wow. But
when people don't
this is
realize,
actually going on all across America. I mean, when they do it, it's going to be horrifying because it will be across the entire United States. There's all kinds of arms caches they've been finding or that have been put in place for the like the guys who come across, walk across the border. We'll get you set up with your phone card and your apartment and whatever, and we'll get you armed and wait for your trigger and then it's coming. It's coming. I agree. Also, the grid. Now, I live in Puerto Rico and the grid completely sucks here, which I think is wonderful. Actually, last night there was a big brownout, but I'm in a house that's completely in solar. I think there's more solar panels per person on this island than anywhere else because we're so used to a really horrible infrastructure. But that's coming to the mainland in a big way, really in a big way. So
well,
many
I
things. Yeah.
agree. It was a couple of years ago when Newsom started going crazy in California that all the homes have to be built with solar. And everyone was up in arms. And I said, yeah, I know it's going to drive some cost up. But the reality is, with the AI data centers and what I'm reading, it's actually probably a pretty good idea. My wife and I are having ongoing discussions about, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, being totally food self-sufficient. I don't know if that's possible. I think we probably have the land to do it. But we just need to investigate how to do it. And we probably provide about 20% of the food that we consume.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
Yeah.
that's not enough,
No.
because when the wheels come off the transportation or the grid comes down, it's over. As far as, I mean, the stores will be emptied within a day or two.
I totally agree. Now you've got a good chunk of land and a good, and you've already got a good start, so that's awesome. I would say no, it's very difficult to be totally food self-reliant. You really need a community. And you need a community for so many other things besides food. But one example for the food is you have your flock of chickens or your rabbits or whatever you have, or even your all it's genetics. Genetics is the reason that you need for on so many levels. You need genetics, right? You may have your garden, your tomatoes just totally bailed on you this, but your neighbor has it and they still have seed, right? Or the same thing with the rabbits and the chickens and everything else. You have to have a diversity of genetic of gene pool. And then, it's kind of a funny joke, but a lot of times these hardcore survivors, I'm gonna head out and I'm gonna take my family off to the woods, and I'm like, and yeah, and who is your daughter gonna marry, right? I mean, we're talking about genetics on every level. You have to build community, and perhaps I can come on on another show sometime and we can talk. I have a very simple system for how to very quickly find like-minded neighbors, and build a self-reliance network. But
Well,
to
you
be
talked
all,
about something
yeah.
called the three-part system. You've mentioned it a couple of times,
Yeah.
but I couldn't tell you what one of the parts is. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I'm sure it's something that you provide for people. Can you kind of give an
Yeah.
overview?
Well, that's what I'm before as you're building community, though, when you are in community, you have to be producing something, and the people that you want in your community are people that are producing something. So you don't want to come into a community with nothing. And being able to produce food is a huge thing. And everybody should be producing at least half of their own food. And that's at backyardfoodproduction.com. And it's a, again, I show people this. It's a simple, 100 square foot garden. A small flock of laying hens with six laying hens and a home rabbitry with a buck and three breeding does. It can fit easily into a quarter acre suburban backyard. And I show you the calories and what it, really it only takes about, on some days when you've got to run, you only need 5 minutes. And then sometimes on the weekends, you might spend a few hours like upgrading this or cleaning that out or something. But on average, it's about a half an hour a day to produce half of your own food. And the other great thing about this system is, first of all, it's completely off-grid. It doesn't require any electricity and much high, it doesn't require high-tech anything. And it's infinitely replicable. So once you begin to really get this going and you've mastered this, when those in-laws who thought you were crazy all those years suddenly show up on your doorstep, you'll be like, okay, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. We can build, we can get this up and going on a much larger, we can replicate it. You'll have some skills that'll be valuable, actually essential. Like, we really need you to learn this because you will be a leader in your neighborhood or your community. I went to visit Cuba after their collapse. Their government called it a special period. So in 1990, the last Soviet ship pulled out of Havana, and I mean, sudden. Like overnight, the economy plummeted by 60%. The lights went out. The water stopped running. The average Cuban lost 20 pounds. I think the average American would lose a lot more, but the average Cuban, it was a horrible, horrible time. And what really pulled them through was the local gardeners or these local crazy people who were growing their own food. There was enough of them in each of the neighborhoods or in each of the areas. And then all of a sudden, the whole social order got completely turned around. And those people, the lowly gardener, the jardinero, what everybody was looking up and wanting, and that person became a leader. And it was whereas the doctors and the lawyers and all that other stuff were now, what skills? They don't have any skills. They weren't essential. They weren't useful. To completely change the social order in that country is very fascinating. I got to spend almost 2 weeks there interviewing people and talking to them and going to different farms. It's very I did a lot of video on that, but we need you to be that person. And the part of the reason I've been so passionate about doing what I'm doing is there if there's enough of us that are growing food and that have some of these skills, humans are very adaptable and we learn and we can teach. We can all pull through and get through this.
Yeah, out here where I live, I do have two neighbors we can count on. One actually has chickens. There is the possibility, but what you're really describing is the old West attitude towards a co-op that we still see in farming communities. And the co-op was designed to, okay, if I have a down year, you can help me, and we store mutual grain together in the bin. And we've lost that. And the biggest problem I see for people are those that live in urban areas in apartments. Do they have any hope?
Do your best to get the heck out of there. Now, there are things that you can do when you're in an apartment or a condominium now to start learning things. Like, you can be growing plants in windows or even like having quail in your living room or, find a community garden or just start one on a vacant lot, whatever you need to do. But really, the urban centers, it's going to be horrific. You need to get out of the urban centers. There's, you really do. I just hate to be that blunt about it. And I fully believe, you're getting a funny story, but here, I fully believe that when you have an intention or a question or a desire or a need, and you just really, do a prayer or make a, just talk to the universe, you're like, I really need to get out of this apartment. Or one time I had this question so much about what can I grow in my apartment, beyond the sprouts and the herbs and things, which are wonderful to get started with. Like, what could I grow that's more substantial? So if you have an open heart and an open mind and you're really genuinely asking, and you got to realize that that answer is going to come from some, like, a billboard or a lyric in a song or some crazy way. So I had this is kind of a funny story. So I was like, what can people do in an apartment that's more substantial than just, these sprouts? And then my son was an enterprising young teenager, and we found out he was growing mushrooms in his closet, psilocybin, a little side hustle there. So we're dealing with that as parents, like that gets stopped, right? And then there's the whole disciplinary thing. But I'm thinking, oh my God, you can grow mushroom. You don't have to grow psilocybin. You can grow culinary mushrooms. You can do that in an apartment or a condominium, and they're actually fairly substantial. Your mushrooms have a little bit of substance to them, So hopefully you won't have a son that's potentially headed toward a, misdemeanor or problem. But the answer will come to you if you have an open heart and an open mind. I really, we are here, and you're here for this time period. You are not alone. You have support from the other realms. You have a lot of support, and if you ask for it genuinely and humbly, and you're open. So I believe if you think, oh, I'm hopeless, I'm in this condo or this, I believe that we're in a vortex of change. I believe that
That's
that can
true.
change. And open your heart and you open your mind. Maybe a friend from high school you've forgotten about, and they reach out and they live in some really wonderful small town somewhere. You know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen, but you have to open up your heart and your mind and say, I want this to change. I want to move. I have so many people who say, I get hung up. I'm only on Social Security. And I'm like, I have been living, I have lived without money before, and you really don't need money. You can grow food, you can trade, you can barter, you have skills. I mean, there's lots of ways, and more we're all going to be learning to navigate without their CBDCs and their credit score or whatever. Why not start that right now? God does not work in US dollars. You can make things happen without that. So don't say, oh, I'm hopeless because I've only got this. No, say I'm a powerful person and I really intend for this to happen. And you'll be surprised, but you can make it happen. So yes, in an apartment or a condominium, please start growing some herbs, start growing some sprouts, maybe do some other things. And in that webinar, I do talk about some of them because you want to start developing your skills. But also, it's just, I just don't see the urban centers being a good place to live. I just don't. I think
I agree. And just from a security standpoint, because if you have a breakdown in food supply, you're going to have a breakdown in law and order big time.
big time. Yeah, I interviewed Fernando Aguirre, who was in Argentina, Buenos Aires, during their economic collapse. And my God, the things he was talking about, they would, before he would go to his apartment, he would circle the block at least three times to make sure, armed all the time. He said what was interesting with the interview with him was he said it was like he didn't know, it wasn't like all at once, like what we're talking about, which I think will happen in the US. He said it was just kind of was this creep. There was this, it just kind of happened. Like it just kind of happened. It just kind of happened. And like one day you look and you're like, oh my God, the park that we all used to go play kickball in, and we used to have the dogs running around, is now a tent city, and you go to the store where you used to just get things off the shelves, and now there's plexiglass on it and it's locked. And if you want that razor or whatever the heck it is, you want your shampoo, you have to get somebody to, like that just starts to keep creeping in and creeping in and creeping in, and then the garbage starting to pile up. And he said, it really, he didn't notice it until it like really was bad. And he says, oh my God, we're in collapse. He didn't even notice it, right? But some of the things, like another story he talked about. So one of the first things that happens in a city, in a municipality, and we're seeing this now, is as they don't have the money to pay for things, the first thing they do is they cut back on maintenance. So as I was interviewing him, he was saying, my brother from Spain came to visit me and he got really, really sick. And he said, the water is so contaminated here because they are not keeping up with basic maintenance on the water supply. He said, we're having diseases here that you would only expect to see in like India or Africa. In addition to the grid being completely unreliable and the roads starting having more potholes and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, that's what we're looking at in the cities. It's probably going to happen everywhere. Just because you live in a small town, that, but I've done a lot of reading of collapse and survival during the Civil War, and here in the United States, and the places that did the best were small communities where there was some degree of self-reliance, and yes, they organized a lot of co-ops, and that was another very, very important strategy. It seemed to be the women that often did this, but they would buy in bulk and bring it in and then divide it up, or all of them would be listening and they would say, I heard about this. Let's go and, we hear that this is available over here. And then they would go, right? But you wouldn't have known about that except for that you had this network.
Yeah, you brought up two things too that I want to take a look at, and you talked about pollution of the crops. And I first discovered this when I was covering the so-called Gulf oil spill, and they were using toxic Corexit on it, and the transpiration cycle came into play, and the Corexit would evaporate up and come back on crops hundreds of miles away, and it really wrecked a lot of crops.
Oh,
And so
geez.
I thought, well, okay, what does this mean for chemtrails? And by the way, you people out there don't think it's real. Florida just passed a law against it. Okay, so it's real. What about chemtrails and its effect on home gardening? Have you looked at that at all?
I have. And for the longest time, I didn't have a good solution for people. And I said, look, everything is being chemtrailed. So if, at least your own crops in your backyard are going to be more healthy, more nutritious, and more vibrant. And I didn't think there was much we could do about it. But about a year ago, I met some really interesting, wacky people, which is where you want to go when you need solutions, right? You don't want to go to the shirt and tie scientist types. And he said he had a product, a minerals and microbes protocol for treating the soil that would actually essentially destruct the forever chemicals, and that it would either make the heavy metals unbioavailable or transmute them in some way. And in addition, it had a whole bunch of minerals that would help your plants become stronger. And we were involved in another project, and these guys kept talking about it. At first, I'm like, go away, go, you're making that sounds too good to be, go away. And then finally, I said, well, I'm looking for a solution. Here clearly it's coming to me. We kept running into each other on this project. So I built, a couple of garden beds and filled it up with that shit soil and, ran a bunch of tests. And yeah, over a 2 month period, making applications every 2 weeks, we destroyed two forever chemicals, and five of the others that were left were significantly reduced. I'm like, whoa. And now I'm rerunning all those experiments again. And since then, other homesteaders have taken this up and other researchers have taken this up. So, like everything else that's going on, like our history is completely, we have no idea what real human history is. Everything's been modified and changed. Our science, my first degree is in electrical engineering. I'm going to tell you that was pretty useless degree now that I'm learning more about Tesla and etheric energies and real physics. The same thing for biology and chemistry. And these guys have been involved in biology and chemistry in regards to plants and humans. And they have a whole different perspective on science that is not being taught or advocated in any of what we would normally call our university system. Let's just say that, or papers that you get published in peer-reviewed paper type stuff. But it works. And I use the analytical labs, like the labs, the certified labs, and it works. Like I'm very, very excited. I'm still running a lot more tests on it. Right now, I'm actually running a clinical trial because they have a version of it for humans to eliminate forever chemicals from your bloodstream. And we have about 30 people that signed up for that, and it's a 3 month protocol. And this is all natural stuff. This is like a fulvic humic acid and some other, like a bentonite clay, a very special one, probiotics. And we've been through 3 months, and we're just about to have a bunch of people starting to turn in their first, before and after results. So there is so, it's also like, our energy systems, Tesla, right? He was all into etheric energy, zero point energy. That got completely suppressed. I don't know what happened to Tesla. Probably he was killed. Because they wanted Edison, because then they could monitor it and they could meter it and they could make money off of you versus free energy.
Well,
But now,
you're right. My dad worked in a related field in intelligence, and Tesla stuff is still under lock and key by the FBI. And I think he probably died a natural cause. He died at 83.
did he? Oh,
But you're
okay.
absolutely right. We had some dealings. I was with a company. We had some dealings with Enron, and we believe Enron got taken down not because they did anything wrong. We think the evidence was planted, but they were dealing with zero point energy. And so were a couple of our researchers. And the government came in and said, you're not doing that. And they can suppress anything they want. The Invention Secrecy Act of 1951 allows the government to interfere in private enterprise in areas like what you're talking about with zero point energy. They will not let that come to market. And that's the answer to the data centers, really. But if that
It
came to
is, yeah.
market, you would have an abundance of crop production across the country. You would have an abundance of lifestyle enrichment because you had unlimited utilities, and you would lose control over people if you were the elite. That's why they won't let it come to market.
Well, the same thing with these guys have been very, very low key all these years doing this research, and they actually have inherited the research from their mentors who had been working on it for most of their lives. So there's, but my point is there's a lot that has been suppressed or
Yes, you're correct.
mitigated. And so, when you say, wait a minute, you can destroy forever chemicals, and which is my first was like, you got to be kidding me. But the more you like, wait a minute, You can. And these guys have figured it out. Now, on zero point energy, I think that's actually starting to. We're in a time period where it's the apocalypse, right? And people are normally thinking,
It's
normally,
leaking out. The
you.
science is leaking out. The application lags behind. That's what I'm seeing.
The application is going to take a lot of years to develop. But I was watching a Catherine Austin Fitz video a little while ago, and she's like, there are companies that you can invest in that are openly work developing zero point energy. So,
True.
I you know we're the to me, the apocalypse means the lifting of the veil. It means that we're in a time period when all kinds of things, and it's true, like all kinds of things that were never available to us before because they were so deeply suppressed, are now coming out. And so the potential is wonderful. It's going to be an incredibly interesting, crazy, chaotic time. One thing you have to count on is that all the supply chains and all the things that you normally depend on are going to be gone. And that's why I'm so hopeful about the future, is because if you can survive this period, if you can make it through this period, I think the rebuilding and the rejuvenation is going to be incredible, and I think we'll be really headed into an incredible golden age. But getting there, because we got to deal with these migrants, we got to deal with all this warfare, we got to deal with
I know.
the
I hear
repercussions
you.
of the people who have been jabbed. We got to deal with the people who are fixing to go mentally insane over, like, that have no clue. Oh my God, Dave.
Mental illness is off the charts. I have a background as a mental health therapist, and I can tell you right now, just anecdotally and also clinically, the research tells us mental illness is off the charts. And that's to be expected when you have resource deprivation, because some people just have a low threshold for stress. And they don't react well. We're just about out of time. This went very, very quickly, but you do really good work on this. And Scotty has kind of updated me on all the things that you do. And people are going to want to know where to go to follow you and become part of what you do and gain your knowledge. What can they do?
I really recommend the first place, because I've been doing this for so long. Some people, if I send you the main website, it's overwhelming. People, well, that's too much information. Go to backyardfoodproduction.com. There's a 45-minute webinar there that will show you very quickly that three-part system on how to start growing your own food in your backyard. If you do live in an apartment or condominium, watch it. We do have some advice for that. But you want to start learning and seeing these skills. And I put 20 years of teaching people how to grow food that have older, they're out of shape, they have no experience, and I specifically designed this system for them. And then once you do that, we'll put you on an email sequence and give you all kinds of, like, there's a video on how to, grow all your chicken, or how to find all your chicken feed for free. You don't want to do that in phase one, because in phase one you want to just buy some chicken feed because you have so much else to learn. But in phase two, yes, you're going to figure out how to have all the chicken. Oh, same for the rabbit feed, how to make your own compost. So we'll start introducing you to the whole thing slowly. But that first webinar is really the best way in, and that's at
Okay.
backyardfoodproduction.com.
Well, we're going to have to do a follow-up. This has really gone quickly, but with a lot of really great information. And I wanted to go back to the Central Valley, but we don't have time. We are out of time because I got some info on that. But you kind of squelched it too. I agree with you about the Central Valley and the LA fires. I've heard the same thing. But anyway, our guest has been Marjorie Wildcraft. And Marjorie, would you give your website out again just so people get curious and want to go there too?
Yeah, backyardfoodproduction.com.
Okay.
Please do it. Even if you're living in an apartment or condominium, you need to start learning these skills. And I've distilled 20 years, and this is for people who have no experience, they're older, they're out of shape.
Yeah.
I've cherry-picked the easiest ways to grow food and
Sounds good.
generate a lot of calories.
And don't forget about Marjorie's book, The Grow System, The Essential Guide to Modern Self-Sufficient Living, From Growing Food to Making Medicine. Penguins Random House is where you can get this. Just search engine it, you'll find it. Marjorie, thank you so much for coming on. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you.
Take care.